Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four, brought to you by DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, and they are giving new customers $200 in free bets instantly when you bet $1 or more on any football game. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Make sure to use code KSN. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. Free bet promotion for new customers only. Minimum $5 deposit. Max wager limits apply. One per customer. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. And we're welcoming in good friend of the show, Dustin Schutte from SaturdayTradition.com, the place to go for everything Big Ten football. Dustin, first full weekend in the books. A lot of fun, wasn't it?
Oh, it was so fun. You know, a couple weeks ago, we had week zero. It was kind of like our appetizer into the college football season. And last week, we just went, I mean, we went nose first into the buffet. So it was a lot of fun. Every game we saw last weekend, from 12 p.m. until about 11:30 p.m., it was really a lot of fun to get this season going. And seeing those packed stadiums, seeing full capacity, whether it was at Iowa or Wisconsin or Purdue or wherever it was awesome to see fans back in the stadiums enjoying themselves at a live college football game after last year not having anybody in attendance.
Well, let's start with last week's games. Like you said, for week one, it was fun. The stands were packed. I told you we would remind you of how you did with your picks last week. And, my friend, you went 1-1-1. You had to push. You thought Minnesota would cover against Ohio State. You won with Penn State covering. They not only covered but won at Wisconsin. And the one nick in your record was Iowa and Indiana. You took the Hoosiers, and it didn't turn out so well. But how about just an overview of the Big Ten? What stood out to you? What were your surprises? What's your reaction from week one?
Yeah, I think if I could kind of sum up what I saw from the Big Ten in week one and just kind of paint a little picture would be basically the old dumb cliche, defense wins championships, right? I mean, you talk about that very first game we had with Wisconsin and Penn State, and you go into the half scoreless. I think those were two of the best defensive teams we'll see in the Big Ten, and maybe that's a bit of an overreaction. We tend to do that after a week one game, but typically, you see the defense is usually playing at a higher level than a team's offense. And so I think that that kind of played a factor into why those teams, both Wisconsin and Penn State, struggled to score. But, you know, I mean, Graham Mertz could not get comfortable in that against Penn State's defense at any time, and he's an experienced starter. Arnold Ebiketie, I hope I pronounced his name right. I heard it so often during the broadcast, but he had a big introduction. The secondary with Jaquan Brisker and Jair Brown, they looked really good. I just was really, really impressed with what I saw from Penn State's defense. And then you go out to Iowa City and you see what Iowa was able to do against what has really been an explosive Indiana offense the last year or two. Completely shut them down. Michael Penix completed less than 50% of his passes. He threw three interceptions. Indiana didn't get into the end zone. They got blown out. Iowa scored two defensive touchdowns. And then I go back to that Thursday night game a week ago with Ohio State and Minnesota. And yes, it was a shootout. It was 45-31. But you saw in the second half and late in that game, Ohio State's defense really kind of, they really kind of hunkered down on Minnesota, came up with some big plays, a scoop and score late in the game. Their defense wasn't great, but it made enough plays to get the job done. So I thought that overall, if you were trying to describe what happened in the Big Ten in week one, to me, defense was really the story, and I saw a lot of really well-played. We can even talk about Purdue a little bit, the defense against Oregon State. I know it's Oregon State, Pac-12, not a great program, but that was a defense that played really aggressive. They had struggled in the secondary. They came up with some big stops in that game. So I just thought all across the board, the defense was the story across the Big Ten, and I could go on and on, but that was my biggest takeaway from the weekend.
And for those of you who want to read Dustin's stuff, it's on SaturdayTradition.com. You had an article out early in the week, Dustin, where you pointed out the box score from the Penn State-Wisconsin game. And even more so than the final numbers was at halftime, Penn State had one first down in the first half, and I think Wisconsin had 13. There was such a disparity there, but what I found fascinating was the value of the big play. You know, Wisconsin could run up and down the field from the 20s to the 20s, but one down, you have a big play. And Penn State had about four or five, and it was the same thing, Ohio State, Minnesota. No matter what Minnesota did, they didn't have the big plays like Ohio State did. Those were the differences.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, you look at that box score, and Jim, if you would have showed me that box score and no score and I did not watch that game, I would have been asking you the question, is James Franklin on the hot seat? Because I would have assumed Penn State got beat by 28 points. Wisconsin had the ball for nearly 43 minutes. They ran 95 plays in that game and scored 10 points. I mean, that's just insane. And obviously a lot of that has to do with Penn State's defense. And they come up with a big blocked field goal. Obviously Wisconsin made some mistakes in the red zone. But that's just the value of having a guy like Brett Pry as your defensive coordinator and having so many talented players on the field and an experienced roster. I think we can agree Penn State's offense probably needs to take a few steps. I still think Wisconsin's defense is really good. But, man, if that defense can play even half that well throughout the course of the season, this is going to be a team that – this is why I thought Penn State was the second-best team in the Big Ten East again this year, because just the talent that they have, I like the addition of Mike Yurcich. We need to see a little bit more from that offense, in my opinion. But, man, top to bottom, if the defense can play that well, they have a legitimate chance to be back in Indianapolis for the first time since 2016. And you're right, with Ohio State, that's the key, right? You look at C.J. Stroud's stat line from Thursday night. He did not play well. Ohio State was trailing Minnesota at halftime. He completed 5 passes in the second half. 4 of them were touchdowns. He had 236 yards. That's pretty good. So explosive plays matter. Penn State hit on a few of those. Those were the difference in that game. Ohio State hit on a lot of those in their game on Thursday night. And obviously that's why they got the 2-touchdown win over the Golden Gophers.
There is a lot of value in those explosive plays and having those kind of athletes at wide receiver and on defense to create those big plays. Huge difference. And Penn State has a lot of them. Ohio State has even more of them. So they're always a threat to score no matter where they are on the field. All right, Dustin, you're 1-1-1 after the first weekend. Now it's time to look forward. I'm not sure there was as many good games in the Big Ten as there was in week one, which, again, I give credit to the Big Ten for scheduling them. It was a lot of fun. But there are a few interesting out-of-conference games. I want to start with Ohio State, Oregon. Going into the season, this was one of those big games you mark on your calendar. Oregon struggled a bit in week one. Ohio State is a 14-point favorite, 2-touchdown favorite. What do you see there?
Yeah, I mean, to me, I can't help but talk about this at least a little bit, and it might be dumb, and it's got nothing to do with the on the field, but I wonder about Oregon's situation coming to Columbus and playing basically a 9 a.m. Pacific time game. I mean, I think that is a big factor in terms of body clock. On top of that, they did not play well. They had an underwhelming performance against Fresno State, and you can say that Fresno State's a pretty good team, and they are. They're coached by Kalen DeVore, former offensive coordinator at Indiana. But to only win that game, to escape that game basically pretty narrowly, and you lose your top defensive player in Kayvon Thibodeau, there are some real question marks I have about Oregon heading into this game for a lot of reasons. To me, I think Ohio State, I keep mixing those two teams up. To me, I think Ohio State proved that once they got out of that first half against Minnesota, I think that the playmakers, they kind of settled down. C.J. Stroud got into a comfort level. They were able to run the ball with Mayan Williams and Travion Henderson. C.J. Stroud was able to find Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave. The offensive line was blocking well for most of the night. I really think that Ohio State just still offensively, I still have some questions about that defense. The defensive line is great, but they got beat at the linebacker position. They got beat in the secondary quite a bit against Minnesota. I have questions about their pass defense. But I just think they have so many playmakers offensively. They're so sound. Now that you have C.J. Stroud, who's got he's got those first-game butterflies, those first-game jitters out of his system, I suspect he's going to have a big game. And for all the factors I just mentioned about Oregon, I really like Ohio State in that game to cover.
Interesting you talked about the body clock going West Coast to East Coast. This question actually came up last week with our colleague Ross Tucker, college football player, pro football player, talking body clock for Penn State traveling, and he said really the only issue is when you have a West Coast team coming to the East Coast for a noon game, it's really to, in their body clock, a 9 a.m. game. Real quick before we get to Penn State, I got to get your pick. Iowa is going to Iowa State. Iowa is a 3.5-point underdog. What do you think there?
Yeah, I'll go with the upset on that one. I liked what I saw from Iowa. Their defense was as good as it has been. Phil Parker has that streak where they haven't given up 25 points or more in the last 23 games. Now that dates back to after the 2018 season, the 2019 Outback Bowl. Iowa State was underwhelming. They didn't win at the line of scrimmage against an FCS team. They couldn't run the ball very effectively. They won by 6 points. Iowa just come off a 28-point victory over a ranked team in Indiana. I really like the Hawkeyes in that game.
I'm with you on that one. And finally, we have Penn State, Ball State. Penn State's a huge favorite over the defending MAC champions. Penn State's a 22-point favorite. It's the first home game, first game back at Beaver Stadium. What do you expect from the Nittany Lions?
I expect there's going to be a little jitters in Beaver Stadium in that first game because I think there's going to be a little bit of a hangover factor. I think in that first quarter you're going to see, you know, we come off a big win over Wisconsin on the road. We're supposed to be a heavy favorite against Ball State. We're supposed to take care of business. So I won't be surprised if this is a close game for the first 15 minutes, but only the first 15 minutes. I don't think Ball State has the talent. They're a good football team. They're a good MAC team. Don't get me wrong. They're going to win some football games this year. But Penn State, again, what I saw last week, defensively, nobody on Ball State's team is going to be able to be able to sustain, you know, what Penn State's going to bring in terms of pressure. And then again, I expect the offense to look a lot better against a weaker MAC defense. Sean Clifford's going to have a big day. The running back room's going to have a big day. Jahan Dotson, Parker Washington, the wide receivers are going to have a big day. I expect Penn State to cover.
Very good. Again, you make the Penn State fans happy. Just remember, last week it was Penn State that gave you your one win, my friend.
That's right.
If you enjoyed Dustin's analysis here, make sure you check him out. It's SaturdayTradition.com. Thank you so much for being with us, Dustin. And thank you all for tuning in. Join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving new customers $200 in free bets instantly when they bet $1 or more on any football game. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. Free bet promotion for new customers only. Minimum $5 deposit. Max wager limits apply. One per customer. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.